I remember the emotion, the elation, the euphoria, a mass of people gathering under a tent, joint in song and spirits lifted. It was actually Blues Fest at Byron Bay pre-COVID, bustling crowds, volume turned up, a crowd lifted in song. That was my memory. The intensity of the mood, musicians giving their all to their art, an unwavering commitment to lift the spirits of those who joined in song. And that is the song that stands before us in Psalm 95. It is meant to be a song to lift us, to move us, to boost us. And maybe you're ready for that now, for your emotions to be transported, for your feelings to be raised up, your mood to be elevated. Well, this song can attempt that, though questions will be raised about the content and the sting in the tail of the psalm. Therefore, my prayer today is that the sting in the tail of this psalm will actually fling us to the psalm's fulfillment in Hebrews chapter 4, allowing us to finish our time together today carried to Christ, the Saviour, who will proclaim an invitation to approach God's throne with confidence and for us to receive grace in our time of need. It's an ambitious goal, but with a willingness to engage God's living word that is alive and active, it is possible. However, I'm going to pause now and ask for God's help, so let's pray. Our Father, our Rock, we want to express to you today that for some of us, our souls feel beaten and defeated. Please help us, we pray, to have an ability to hear your word. Please heal our wounds. Please carry us to Christ. Please provide us mercy and grace in our time of need. We pray it in Jesus' name. Well, the psalmist is adamant about the worthiness of God. And yet the fear is that the hearers might struggle to listen to the one who is worthy. And you might sorely relate to that in our current crisis. We hear three cries to come in the psalm. Come, verse 1, to celebrate the wonders of God. Come, verse 6, to worship our Maker. Come, verse 7, and hear his voice. But I don't know about you. But as for me, I'm not quite sure I'm ready to come. I know and I believe, verse 4, in his hands are the depths of the earth. I know and believe the mountain peaks belong to him. I know and believe the sea is his, for he made it. And I know and believe his hands formed the dry land. It's just, I'm finding it hard to listen to him, to come to him. Finding it hard to trust him, and I'm finding it tempting to want to tempt him. Put him to the test. Because do you know the stories behind Meribah and Massa that emerge in verse 8 of this psalm? It's a scene from the Old Testament. Water again was the problem. Not too much, as in our case, but too little for God's people as they wandered in the desert in the book of Exodus in chapter 17. So how could God's people listen to God? How could they come to him? How could they trust him when they were sweltering and dying of thirst? And you may find it hard to see God is worthy when he is the God of dry land, as the psalm says, and yet recently that was painfully hard to find in our town. So you too might find it hard to listen, to come to him and trust him. And yet I believe there is hope for us today. I believe, though, Israel never recovered from their mistrust. For in Numbers 14, they again tested God and compromised their ability to enter the promised land. However, the call for us today is to listen. This side of Jesus, as we join the author of Hebrews, because they're convinced we don't need to stay in despair. Yes, we might grapple with some of the features, the worthiness of God from Psalm 95, and feel the tension of testing the Creator's use of water and land over the last month in our district. But shortly in Hebrews, we'll be urged to listen, to not test to the point of despair, to not grumble to the point that we cannot hear. For the author of Hebrews will invite us to come, To come to Christ, to come to the one who understands, to come to the one who knows our temptations, to come to the one who can provide for you in your time of need. Do you believe Christ can meet your needs? Do you? Really? Then get ready to hear his call to come. Well, I remember one Christmas being blindfolded and told, come, dragged past rose bushes blindfolded, come standing in bindies blindfolded, come. Hard to trust, hard to come, hard to believe when you're blind. And at last, my trials and testings, I had arrived, the blindfold was taken off, and there before me was a table tennis table. Were the exhortations to come now well founded? Well, for a former physical education teacher like me, you better believe it. And yet, what if your table tennis table lies on a pile of rubble at the front of your house in Lismore? Does Christ's invitation to come still stand as a worthy one? When he says, come, should we listen? When Jesus says, I know what you're going through, do we trust him? You better believe it. So let's turn our attention now to the invitation in Hebrews chapter 4 to come. Well, if Psalm 95 invited a people to come to sing to a worthy God, a songline you mightn't feel comfortable to join in with, in somewhat of a contrast, Hebrews 4 takes us to the weak Saviour, tempted in every way and calling us to come in our time of need. So would you be willing to join with me in reading from Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 15 to 16? I pray you will. Let's read together. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Here we're invited to listen to Jesus, who is able to empathize with our weakness, who invites us to come and find the resources we need in this time of need. Is it worth being led by the author to this place? Or have a listen to a Puritan leader compel us to come? Verse 15 takes our hand and lays it on Christ's chest and lets us feel how his heart beats and his affection yearns towards us. For now, as he is in glory, the very scope of these words are written to encourage believers against all that may discourage them. It's powerful, isn't it? Feel Christ's heart beat, sense his compassion towards you, listen to his call to come. Are you discouraged? Come. Are you feeling weak? Come. Are you in need of genuine empathy? Come. It is understandable that songs of worship may be too hard for you to sing at this time, but understand the invitation here to come is to come in your weakness, in your fragility, in your time of need. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, we're encouraged to keep hold of the faith we profess. Eliza, our MTS apprentice, in her quiet time this week, read from Hebrews chapter 6, says this, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm, secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever. So in your despair, hold firmly to the faith. In your discouragements, put down Christ as your anchor. In your time of need, come to Christ. Christ knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to feel pain. He knows what it is to feel abandonment. His human nature engages our troubles comprehensively. Do you feel that about Christ? Or do you think only a human can engage you? Christian psychologist Jono Andrews worries that too many Christians try to find help that only Christ can bring in other humans. What's his assessment of when we do that? He says, thunderclouds appear on the horizon. When we rely on others to deliver what our hearts desires, if we depend on someone else, we become sensitive to what they do or don't do for us. When others sense that, they start becoming cautious, trying not to step out of line for fear of upsetting us. Freedom becomes restricted by the weight of our quiet coercion. Our failure to come to Christ in our darkest needs redirects a burden on others that cripples them, can fracture relationships, while our Saviour waits beside the phone praying that we might come. Jesus is the doctor who knows and has experienced our disease. In the book Gentle and Lowly, we're reminded that Jesus knew what it was to be thirsty, to be hungry, to be despised, rejected, scorned, shamed, embarrassed, abandoned, misunderstood, falsely accused, suffocated, tortured, and killed. So Jesus, in his absolute weakness, pleads with us to come. Will you listen to his call? Where do you turn when you need comfort? Listen to country-based writer, cook, and journalist Sophie Hansen's reflections. I've always found comfort in rice pudding, whether in winter, piping hot, a sprinkling of cinnamon sugar and a cube of butter melting on the top, or straight from the fridge in midsummer, slippery fresh peaches, or warm on a cool autumn day, infused with cinnamon, topped with figs, hazelnuts. I crave and make rice pudding year-round. Rice pudding is like a time to travel back to my childhood. It's soothing, uncomplicated, and it's my favourite. It's also my children's favourite. They ask for it when they feel low, cold, or unable to stomach anything else. And it always seems to help in its own small way. Christ is calling us to come. Find refuge in our time of need. Find comfort in our heartache. Is Christ's comfort better than rice pudding? Some of you are thinking, that's good. It's good to know because I don't really like rice pudding. Christ calls us to come. He's better than chocolate. Christ calls us to come. He's better than Netflix. Christ calls us to come. He's better than alcohol. Christ calls us to come. He's better than pornography. Christ calls us to come. Will you listen to him? I can understand why we might not be ready to sing out the loud praises from Psalm 95 of a God who is questionably worthy, but we cannot deny the invitation to come from our weak Saviour. Hebrews chapter 4 appeals to us to listen to the invitation, to hear the call to come and to be met, to be embraced and to be drawn into the heart of Christ. Christ is calling you. Christ is drawing you. Christ is pursuing you. Because did Jesus know what it was like to be tempted, to be tested, to trust the worthiness of God? Yes, he did. Jesus himself was tempted in the desert like Israel. Satan accused God. He could not be trusted. All Jesus was left with was to cling to the words of God, and Jesus refuted the deceiver with the weapon of the word. But in the moment of greatest desperation, Christ did question God in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly before he was killed. He asked God, now, this cup, this suffering, and Jesus drank the cup of wrath. He went to the cross for us. He faced abandonment, forsakenness, so that we could come with confidence. So would you come to Christ in your time of need? Would you respond to his invitation to come? Would you take up this welcome in the midst of his own weakness? He thrives when things are broken. Jesus can't mend or help those that are already mended. Jesus restores the sick to health, but he can't help the self-medicated. Jesus allows his heartbeat to be heard, but he can't do that if you won't come near. Jesus draws near to the lonely, but he can't help those who turn to others to save them. Will you allow Christ to save you? Or you'll need to resign from healing your own heart Resign from relying on others to do that. Turn your back on others. Turn your back even on yourself as the SES of your own psychological salvation. Come to Christ, but as you come to him, personal merit is nullified. As you come to Christ, pride floats away like chalk in the wind. As you come to Christ, he becomes the agent and the destination. And as you come to Christ, grace and mercy fills us in our time of need. Well, Sam Albury is a same-sex attracted pastor, and he shares his challenge of coming to Christ and also the solution when you do come to Christ. Firstly, the challenge. One of the tendencies of my own experience, he says, has been a tendency toward emotional overdependency on particular friends. Things with a good friend can be going along quite normally, quite happily, and then almost out of the blue, I can feel a deep tug toward them. A profound need to be around them, to know their approval and their affection. And left unchecked, this person has become very close to the center of my life. It creates deep yearning that cannot be fulfilled, and it puts a terrible burden on friendships. That's Sam's personal challenge. And now here is where he found the remedy. Life is far, far better with Jesus at the center. And far, far worse when anyone or anything else is. Ultimately, that is the promise of the gospel. The great gift Jesus gives is himself. He's not the means to some other end. It is Jesus who satisfies our deepest emotional and spiritual needs. He is the destination, irrespective of our issues and complexities. Anyone who comes to him will find fullness of life. Well, the memory still stands for me from Blues Fest at the North Byron Parklands. The intensity of artists' conviction, the passion for their lyrics, their eagerness to lift those in the crowd with song. But I can remember being struck, is Christ that core to me? Do I have that same sort of passion for him? Can Christ lift me? He can and so much more. He is here with you as you watch this. He is with us in darkness. He is with us in solitude. He is with us on the highest mountain. He is with us in the lowest moment. He is with us when we ignore him. His heart is beating us, is beating toward us, inviting us to come to him. The famous Christian author John Bunyan said this after 12 years of imprisonment. I have never had in all my life so great an inlet into the Word of God as now. Jesus Christ has never been made more and more apparent than now, because I've seen and felt him indeed. Christ is calling you to come. We listen to his call. Let's pray. Let's talk to our Father God. Father, we want to thank you for Christ, for his humanity, for his temptations, for his weakness. We are sorry for the times that we fail to listen, too anxious and stuck in our own plans, too invested in others' solutions for us, too eager to find a way, and we sadly fail to hear you. Please allow Christ to be all in all for us, to be our safety in need, to be our strength, to be our Saviour, and to come and meet us in our hardships, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.